Cool. Hey everyone, how you doing? Welcome to the December edition of 30/30, where we're going to cover off on what happened in the industry over the last 30 days in the next 30 minutes. Happy holidays to everyone out there, and I hope everyone is having a really good Q4. We're certainly busy over here at Conductor, but we have a lot to cover today, so let's get right into it. So to start off, I actually have a couple of updates for people, and we will see that. So we can see here that there are two updates. Definitely want to talk again about the app and interstitial, which actually affected one of our clients over here that had a little bit of a dip. So we'll talk about that. I want to talk about the new Penguin algorithm update, which we talked about last time. There's a big update there. Bing did something, which they launched their mobile-friendly testing tool, which is awesome for them. Google has expanded app indexing to a really cool streaming feature that we'll get into. Another type of penalty from Google is going to be out there. Twitter's updating the tweet button, which is going to really make some people mad. And also, Google is going to start supporting HTTP2 protocol, which is great. And also, another filter has disappeared from Google's arsenal. So we have all that to get through. So let's start with the first update. So I may have mentioned this the last two webinars, but I want to bring it up one more time because I want to say again that Google is now penalizing people as of November 1st if you have large app interstitials on your mobile experience. Your mobile rankings are going to drop. I bring this up once again because we recently had a client see a slight dip or a noticeable dip at that. I don't want to call it catastrophic, but definitely saw a noticeable drop in their mobile traffic and rankings, and we believe it's due to this. So this is a real world example where I've actually seen it out in the wild negatively affect someone. So again, if you have a very large app interstitial on your mobile site, you really need to, for the most part, get rid of it and come up with something else. You can use one that's either way on the top or a little bar on the bottom, but don't cover up enough content to get dinged by this penalty, because we now have proof of concept that this penalty is real and will negatively affect you. Next, another big update. So everyone's excited about the new real-time Penguin update happening by the end of 15, right? Unfortunately, wrong. It is not happening, and we will see you in 2016. Google came out and said that due to the holiday season, that they do not have enough resources to actually put towards this and make it and release it in time for the end of the year. This is really unfortunate because, a lot of people have been looking for this as a way to more easily get out of Penguin update penalties, which is a real shame. But at the end of the day, they're going to release it in 2016. When 2016? My guess is, I don't know, I'd probably say within the first 30 to 60 days. Google has a lot of people working on this, and I'm sure the reason that they're not, they're saying it's the holiday season, that's fine. That's a fine excuse. But at the end of the day, it's probably just because it's not done and it's not working properly. And to be honest with you, as much as these updates make a lot of our lives a little difficult, we certainly don't want a thing released that's three-quarters of the way done. So a lot of people are clamoring out there like, oh, I can't believe Google's doing this. It's another one of them messing with SEOs. But to be honest with you, in my opinion, this is just them putting a little bit of polish on it so that when they release the final product, they won't have to dial it up or dial it down as much as they normally do. So I think this is probably a good thing in the long run. We'll get a more finished product. There'll certainly be updates to it along the way, but this will be, more... This will give us a more polished product. So while it's a little unfortunate that we're not getting it in the time frame that they promised, it's better to get something that's finished than something that's, halfway done. So that's the update there. So what's new and what happened in the last 30 days? So Bing launched a mobile-friendly testing tool, which actually is really cool. I went out and I used it on the Conductor site, and it's very similar to Google's. It gives a little checklist as to what's good and what's not so good. It doesn't go as in-depth as Google's testing tool, but again, a good thing about this is, a lot of people write off Bing, right, especially for SEO. But at the end of the day, they own, 20%, over 20% of the market, and to be honest with you, with Yahoo kind of looking for buyers right now, I would not be surprised if Microsoft just gobbled Yahoo up, and they're going to continue to become a bigger part of the search picture. I mean, Google's probably always going to be the engine that we're going to have to optimize for, But Bing is a good sounding board for a lot of things. So I view this as, you know, a lot of people are like, yeah, who cares? You know, Bing has a testing tool. Google released theirs over a year ago. And that's fine, but, you know, it's always good to have a second source, right? And I think that this is just another way of Bing being able to be very helpful for SEOs, to be honest with you. And, you know, me too. You can go back and read a lot of my blog posts over the course of my career. And, I poke fun at Bing at times. But, you know, to be honest with you, they're a legit search engine, and this tool works. It's pretty. It gives very, to-the-point answers, very short and simple. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And to be honest with you, if you had something in Google's tool that you thought, you know, what can I test this against? You know, there really wasn't anything as simple as this to test against. This, this comes from a very reputable source at Bing, and this is just another way to test your site. So I view this as, you know, good for you, Bing. You know, you're giving us a new tool that we can use, and they're becoming a bigger part of search, in my opinion. So I think this is actually a really cool update, and I'm really looking forward to how they evolve this and a lot of their other tools over time, because Bing's doing a lot of exciting stuff. And they just announced, you know, a few weeks ago that, or a couple of months ago probably at this point, that, you know, they're really all in on search now. They're really focusing on Bing. So we're going to start to see Bing become a bigger part of the organic picture, you know, in the next couple of years, I would imagine. But certainly this is another tool that we can use, and that's always good. SEOs love tools. I have a million of them. So at the end of the day, it's just another lever for us to pull. So moving on from there. This is actually really cool. So I'm sure that everyone's been, you know, reading up on app indexing and all, you know, how to get apps, indexed within Google and all that. You know, Google actually released this new thing where they're actually streaming app-only content. Now, it's a closed beta. Unfortunately, you can't go and get your app in the experiment that they're currently doing. But what it is these nine Android apps, which are Chimani, Daily Horoscope, Gourmet, Hotel Tonight, My Horoscope, New York Subway, Useful Knots, Visual Anatomy Free, and the Weather Channel, they're actually doing this thing where, as you can see here, when you type in something, so Chimani National Parks, Yosemite, you can see that there's this little stream button next to it, or the word stream. And, you know, what that means is when you click on that, if you have the app installed, you're going to get a really cool little disclaimer here that's going to basically tell you that this is going to take you into that app, but actually stream the content. To you, which is much different than having it, you know, how they used to index, because you used to have associated web content to get ranked within Google's results pages. So at this point, this is taking it to a whole nother level where, you know, app marketing and app indexing, especially for SEOs, is going to become a very big deal in the next year. And this is something that, you know, whether you're, if you're a customer of ours, you know, which you all are, then, you know, this is something that you should definitely start to talk to your CSMs about and your strats about. And if you're rolling out an SEO strategy for the first time and this is just something that you're getting into, make sure that if you have an app, that app indexing is in the discussions, because this is going to be the future of app marketing. They're going to start to be able to send people directly to your app if they have it installed, or you're going to be able to get that content even if it doesn't have a web component ranked within Google, and it's going to take you to a place where they can buy your app or download your app. So this is a whole new world for organic search. To be honest with you, a lot of people say, oh, this has been around for years. It really hasn't. The streaming app thing is brand new. Of course, talking about getting apps indexed and everything, that's been a discussion for a long time. But now it's actually a reality, and it's something that needs to be in the conversations, no matter if you are a seasoned SEO just getting, or you're just getting into it. So definitely think about it as the discussions of your SEO campaign evolve. So we're all happy about this. Google's rolled out another penalty. And this one is probably a good one, to be honest with you, because personally, these are the ones that kind of drive me nuts. And, you know, they're going to start penalizing sites that use deceptive mobile traffic networks. Now, what does that mean? A lot of people are like, well, what does that mean? You know, does that mean like link farms or things like that? That's not what we're talking about here. Specifically, you know, Google is referring to mobile affiliate traffic networks that bounce users from one place to the next so that they can get more traffic to different types of sites and ultimately make more money. Now, this is something that every one of us probably experiences every day. If you've ever gone on Facebook and you've clicked on an article and all of a sudden you can see the URL bouncing around, this is exactly what we're talking about. An affiliate is picking up this link and then shooting it back over to the source material, and that's how they make money. They're getting paid on the clicks that they're getting, but really all they're doing is redirecting people all over the place. And you've probably seen the weird URLs that are broken up oddly that no one would ever use as a URL for their site. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Now, why does it matter? Now, any type of penalty that Google, instills on us is a big deal, and you got to pay attention to it. With that said, the big problem here is, and I say this especially to our publishing clients out there, is that a lot of you guys, may not know that this is actually happening. Now, I know that I've talked to a few people who were asking, some questions around this, which is why I added it into the webinar about, they saw this article pop up on a few places like Search Engine Land SEO Roundtable, and they were asking, how do I know if this is happening to me? And, at the end of the day, if you don't know, go ask your developer or go find someone within your organization that will know, because if this will start to really affect your mobile traffic if you start to bounce people all around, because at the end of the day, it's kind of like a meta refresh at the end, back in the day when you would put something in one place and then you would refresh it to somewhere else. It's kind of the same idea here. It's only using affiliate traffic as that conduit. So at the end of the day, this is definitely something that everyone should be paying attention to. But if you don't know that your site is at risk for this, go find someone within your organization that does. Or feel free to reach out to your CSM, and they'll get you in touch with me, and I'll be happy to talk to you about it and look around for you. So definitely keep this get this at the forefront of a conversation, and let us know here at Conductor if you need any help figuring out if this is actually, potentially affecting you or will affect you. This has gone into effect, so I would think that, this is something that you should talk about sooner rather than later. So moving on. So this is a fun one. So Twitter is updating their tweet button. Well, unfortunately, they're saying they're making it simpler, they're actually ditching the share count, which is really unfortunate for a lot of people who helped Twitter become who Twitter is right now, which are bloggers, social media advocates, and authors. So, the quote from Twitter is why they're doing this. You can see in the picture, which I took right from the article because it's so perfect with it. So thank you to our friends over at Search Engine Land for this. We are simplifying the tweet button by removing the share counter alongside the button. And it's like, why? Why would you do this? There's so few ways really to measure Twitter, right? Share count, retweets, and things of that nature are really how people who can't buy these huge analytics platforms actually measure if Twitter is something that's important to them. So it's really confusing to me as to why they're doing this. And even from an organic standpoint, Twitter just became a fairly, a pretty good part of Google, in my opinion. I thought I was going to hate the integration of the tweets, into Google search results. But I got to be honest with you, as an avid fantasy football player, when I wonder if someone's been hurt and I Google their name and I can see people tweeting about them, actually they're giving me the information much quicker than I wanted, than I could go out and find it. So I actually really like this. And this is a really a confusing announcement to me by Twitter that they would do this to their users. But then it all kind of started to come around of, why would they do this? And also, why do they are saying that there is, oh, don't worry, there's a solution to this. And everywhere that I read, there was quotes around the word solution. And what that means is, a couple of years ago, maybe a year ago, I don't know the exact time frame, Twitter bought a company called Nip. And what Nip is the only source for commercial data, commercial Twitter data. And what they want you to do now is buy a subscription to NIP, and I think that's how you pronounce it. I asked a million people, and that's how they say it. So if not, don't kill me if I'm not saying it right. But at the end of the day, it's GNIP. So I asked around, and I found a few people who are actually subscribers, and they say they're paying anywhere from $300 a month to even more. Some people who wouldn't tell me how much that they were paying for the service, which is unfortunate because a lot of people use that share count, especially bloggers and things of that nature, and just authors who are writing articles for other publications. They use that as a lightweight metric. So this is kind of taking Twitter out of the equation from a relevancy standpoint, and the and the article that I read and the articles that I took this from, they all kind of, you know, spoke about that, you know, making Twitter less relevant than it was to the people who made Twitter what it is. And listen, this is America. I am all about people making tons of money. There's nothing wrong with capitalism in my mind. But at the end of the day, this is going to alienate a lot of bloggers, a lot of authors, and a lot of people who use Twitter, you know, and kind of opens the door for other social platforms to kind of take its place on that coveted bar. I mean, Google Plus is going to go away soon anyway. I mean, they just broke off Google, you know, all the Google My Business pages, and now you don't even have location pages. You just have your map listing. So Google Plus will go away eventually. So I would think that it's really odd that Twitter would do this. And again, you know, I'm not a social media strategist or expert by any means. I live in, you know, in the world of SEO. But even from this standpoint, this is a really odd thing for Twitter to do. It's a total cash grab, and it's unfortunate for the users. So if you're using Twitter, which let's face it, we all are, then this is something that you should be prepared for, that you're not going to have that easy access to your share data. And if you want something a little bit more robust, you're going to have to buy a subscription to NIP. Okay, so moving on from there. One of the biggest things that happened last month is that Google said that it is going to start supporting the HTTP2 protocol by the end of the year. And to be honest with you, this is a huge deal. And, you know, Search Engine Land with, you know, and Search Engine Watch have two really great articles about this. And all the different benefits for developers and benefits for marketers and things like that about why this is a big deal. So as we all know here, you know, HTTP protocol that we all currently use was built sometime in 1999. All that was written in 1999, and we all use it. Every website uses it. So this is a way overdue upgrade to that. And the major improvements are highlighted here. I'm not going to go through every single one of them because it's a lot of technical talk, and you'll probably get more benefit of reading through it and then ultimately looking up what it means for you. But what I can tell you that it does is this is all about site speed and how your site functions. And that is the biggest benefit to switching to HTTP2. And if you have questions about how you should do this or why you should do this, why? The biggest reason is speed. And we all know that speed is a big ranking factor these days. So this is going to make sites run faster and more efficiently and create less load on your servers. So at the end of the day, it's all good from a technical standpoint. Now, from a development standpoint, you know, there's a few things that need to be done, obviously. So I would urge you to go talk to your developers or whoever built your site or your tech guide and ask them, hey, what is this? How do we do this? And really start to investigate, you know, the cost and the resources that it would take to kind of get this going. Because at the end of the day, this is the future of the web and how websites are built. And Google saying that they're going to start supporting this is awesome. And we all should be switching our sites to this protocol, within the next year. If you're already there, good for you. You're ahead of the game. But this is really exciting from not just an SEO standpoint, just from an overall web functionality standpoint. This is so good for everyone. So definitely look it up. Like I said, Search Engine Land and Search Engine Watch have two great articles on it. It'd be easy to find. If you have questions on that, reach out to me. I'm happy to send you the links. But at the end of the day, definitely take a look at that because this is a big deal for all of us, every single person on the phone. Okay, and lastly, before we get into questions, one of Google's, probably most long-standing search filters was removed last week, and this is one that I actually threw in at the last minute because it kind of upset me because it's something that I use on a regular basis, and according to Google, I'm apparently the only one because they said there wasn't a lot of usage. So if you notice now, if you Google, you know, like SEO, right, you used to be able to search by location and by country and by time and by different types of results. Now, that was one of the filters. It was great that if you had a client or if you had a business that had several different locations, that you could set your location. So say, you know, I'm in New York, right? Say I have a client who's out in Colorado and has three locations within Colorado. I would be able to switch here and say, hey, I would like to see what people see in Colorado. I used to have that ability. Unfortunately, Google has taken that away, as it has taken away so many other things from me over the course of the last 12 years. And, you know, it's one of those things where they cited that, you know, from Google's mouth exactly said, it was getting very little usage, so we're focusing on other features, which is unfortunate because while it probably really was getting less not getting a lot of usage compared to other filters and things of that nature. It was a feature that a lot of SEOs use. I know that in my past life, especially at the agency I used to work at, I used to use it, on a daily basis. I still used it on a weekly basis here on Conductor. So it's a real shame that we lost it. But Google takes away filters and messes with things all the time. Do I think that they're gonna bring it back? No, they're not, but maybe they'll take an idea of it and turn it into something that works even better. Kind of like my hope for authorship to come back, which I still think is one of the coolest things that Google got rid of, and have a little bit of hope after Mueller said that we might see authorship in the near future do something, which makes me excited. So that's really that's everything that happened in the last 30 days. As always, I always like to leave the last 9 or 10 minutes open to questions. So if anyone has any questions, please feel free to put them in the chat box, and we'll get going on answering some of those questions. Okay, I see a lot of typing. Oh, here we go. Okay, Katie Dick, thank you so much. It's GunNet. That's awesome. So now I know. So everyone I asked was wrong. So that's awesome. So I'm going to call them right after this, but thank you so much. Okay, Google Plus just went through a redesign. Will it really go away? Thank you, Brad, for asking that question. So it's a great question. And to be honest with you, for me, I am not a big fan of Google Plus. I never have been. I think that you can see that Google's breaking apart its pieces, right? Hangouts is its own thing now. They just took away the Google My Business stuff, and now really that was, in all the local functionality from Google Plus, which was really the last useful thing, in my opinion, about Google Plus, because a lot of people just use social platforms that push out to all different, all different social platforms, right? So at the end of the day, it's one of these things that I believe that Google is sunsetting it, much like it did. I don't remember if anyone remembers Google Wave, the big thing. They made a huge deal out of it. It lasted for like 6 months, and then they completely shut it down. But they did take away a lot of stuff from that. So I think that's what's going to happen to Google Plus. Do I think it's ultimately going to completely go away? Yes, I do, to be honest with you. I think Google Plus will be sunsetted within the next couple of years. But, maybe not. Maybe they'll keep using it. I know a lot of people that do use it, but not in the way that Google intended. And the problem with that is when people don't use, things the way that Google intends, they tend to shut them down and pull out the functional parts of it. And you can totally see that's what's happening right now with all the different pieces being ripped out of it and made as separate offerings. So that's what I believe. Thank you for the question. If you update to HTTP2, I keep saying 3 T's, but I'm going to keep doing it, before they roll out the release, will it affect rankings? That is a great question. The answer there is I can't see why. It shouldn't affect your rankings at all. This update will probably happen before anyone on this phone is able to switch over to HTTP2. There, I did it right. So I wouldn't worry about it, but it shouldn't matter. I know people who have already switched over and it hasn't affected them. It should just make the website go faster. But with that said, do your research. This is a new thing, right? I'm making the announcement that this happened, but at the same time, before you ever do anything on the technical side, do more research. I don't think it will do anything. I'm going to do more research myself. That's a very thought-provoking question. So I think that I'll even do some more research and update this on the next webinar, but I would think that it wouldn't matter. But certainly do your research before you do any major technical shifts on your site, no matter what they are. Can you talk about the rumored Phantom 3 update? Great question. So I left this out because every time I announce one of these things, whether it's internally or even just to a bunch of friends, it freaks people out, right? The Phantom 3 update happened. So for those of you who don't know, in November, I think it was around November 19th or 13th, it was somewhere within that week, there was a large amount of rank shifts across the web. Now, a lot of people, dubbed it the Phantom 3. We all know that the Phantom 1 was an update that Google, clearly made and never announced. That was a long time ago. Then there was Phantom 2, which was ultimately dubbed the quality update. And now there was the Phantom 3, which they, once again, Google has just chosen not to say anything. Clearly something happened, right? We saw a large shift in rankings, across, a few different verticals here at Conductor. But then again, a lot of it on our end was positive. We saw very positive shifts. My guess is this was a build or an add-on to the quality update. They definitely did something to the core algorithm. I don't think this was anything to do with Panda or anything to do with Penguin. But at the end of the day, I think that this was a build on to the quality update. And we saw our clients mostly see a positive shift in rankings. If anyone has seen negative shifts and you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. I'm happy to talk to you about it. But I believe that this was just an add-on or an update to the quality update. And then again, you know, a couple of weeks afterwards, we actually saw some clients go back to normal. So I think it was just Google testing something out. So maybe they did something and then dialed it back, as they often do when they're testing. But at the end of the day, I don't think it was something super major. I just think it was them testing something out. And who knows? It might have been them testing a rollout of the Penguin 3 update, and then they rolled back and decided that they didn't have enough time to finish it. That's definitely a possibility. But we could talk about that for hours and hypothesize about what they were doing. But, you know, here, that's what I believe it is. So if anyone has any more questions on that, please feel free to reach out. Do you think Google will try creating another platform for social media? That's a great question. And, you know, I believe that they're going to turn Google Hangouts into some kind of social platform. It's one of the best social tools, probably the best social tool they've ever made. I use it all the time, even just to talk to my wife and friends and my family who don't live close to me. You know, it's a nice free way. It's an alternative to Skype. It's easier to use, to be honest with you. I mean, they're both easy. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that one's just easier because when you have a Google Plus account. But I think that they'll wind up doing something like that with Google Hangouts. That will become their social aspect, and maybe something that you can plug in to Facebook. Maybe it's something that you can plug into to other social platforms, maybe LinkedIn, and they'll try to integrate into things. Do I think they're going to go out and build a whole new platform? Probably not. You know, this one did not work, in my opinion. And they'll say, well, we have X amount of millions of active users, and that's great. You know, that's fine. I use Google Plus twice, you know, and it was fine. But I think, I'm sure a lot of people do use it for different things, but, you know, social media, you know, I think Facebook is that platform. I think LinkedIn is that platform that really people really gravitate to. And there's there's Reddit and Digit and all those other ones that, you know, really are just, bigger forum type things. But, I don't think they're going to make another social platform, but you never know. Google, you know, surprises us all the time, but I'd be really interested to see if they did that. And we have time for a couple more. So any update on Wix websites falling out of Google's index? Great question. The answer is no. Google has not updated anything. I still know a few people who are being affected by this in a negative way. Some people have said that the sites have been re-indexed, then they get de-indexed again. Some people have just been re-indexed. It seems like an ongoing problem. Google hasn't made any other announcements, unfortunately. But I think this is just one, still, again, the same as last time. It's something that we're just going to have to wait and see, which really stinks. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that's really what it is. I think that is it, and we're right at time. So I would once again like to thank everybody for joining me this month. I really have a good time doing these things. I'm going to try to get some special guests in here. You know, Stefan's been sitting here the entire time just nodding me on, so I'm not, you know, so I'm going to save him for next time, because I know you all saw him in the video. And, have a great holiday season for whatever you celebrate, and we'll look forward to seeing you next month. Take care, everyone.